Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave, I-95.
Every episode starts out the same. I make me some jokes, current events, hostiles. Nothing is you won't keep it light, so we don't limit our audience.
Women are a totally untapped market.
For now, dude. It's about to happen.
Okay, none of that.
The work is mysterious and important.
There are no f***ing rules.
Yeah,
boys, we got some wild stories in Miss Headlines this morning.
Do you?
What you got, buddy?
Oh my God!
I got some wild stories about my weekend. So we'll take that. You know,
we're just going to get wild.
The show. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I saw the biggest bear of my life on the way in this morning.
Yeah,
on the way in.
Oh man,
what was he doing? Hitchhiking on Route 202?
What's the name of? Okay, it is the local Frankie's, I call it every time. It's not Frankie's. It's on 202.
Yeah.
Just before you get to Bantam, there's that little hot dog stand on the right.
Yep.
I know the one you're talking about. I don't know the name.
I never remember the name of that joint.
Yeah.
When I have to think of it. But that's the second time I've seen, this was a beast, man. And I slowed down.
Did you?
And like, because it was on the opposite side of the road. And I'm coming up and I saw the eyes. And I saw it was black, a big black bear.
Was he hitchhiking?
No. I think he was probably sniffing out the weenies at this hot dog joint.
Right.
But I slowed down and like I got kind of close, but I was like eye level with this thing sitting down in my car. Went, hey, buddy.
So you stopped like right next to him?
Within
slowed down
30 feet, I would say, of it. But, dude, it was a beast. Like, it was a big.
It was like a 400-pounder?
No, not that big. I would say a 200.
Yeah.
You know.
Still scary.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, at 4 in the morning, man? Woof. You know, it's a beast.
It'll rock your socks.
Bantam. Thick with bears.
I forgot to lock my front door to my place last night. A bear could have walked right in.
I was going
to
say.
Bear could have walked right in.
Yeah. You're in the woods.
Hey, dude, what's for breakfast?
What do you got? You some garbage swarming over there, buddy?
Or there's Burger King on the counter.
Oh, yeah. So, Gooseboro.
You would have been next.
Just asking for trouble.
Thank you, Schooner Girl. Gooseboro Driving.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew that.
That's the one. Yep. They're thick with bears around that joint. Yeah. Anyway. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, it's going to be.
And your weekend. Show. How was your weekend?
I don't want to go into it. It's going to be a continuing kind of story throughout the.
Involved.
I got too much here. I've got stuff written down.
Want to give us the Cliff Notes?
Huh? Okay, I'll give you
what. Tease?
Two trips on the lake.
Flick our nipples.
To see the sunset, believe it or not.
No. Yeah.
The sunsets make me feel good.
Heart.
So I take photos, put them in my photos.
Heart.
Went to the Hartford Yard Goats on Sunday with Mindy. Got a story behind that. We almost collapsed.
Oh.
What do you mean?
We were in section 115.
He's teasing.
That's
us.
Yeah, section 115. There was no shade. It was hot.
Oh, yeah, about 100 degrees.
Hot day in Hartford.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll talk eagles. I got a couple of photographs of an eagle's nest with the mom and dad and the kids inside the nest.
More photographs.
Oh. Yeah. I'm a big photograph guy. It makes me feel good.
Oh, we're tingling.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Tell me awesome.
Yeah.
With excitement. Yeah. Let's see what Kelly Quinn has got for
I'm horny.
You got to turn that down, man. That's really hot.
That one?
Well, yeah, whatever it is.
How's that?
Right there.
Try it again.
I'm horny.
Still hot. Okay, go ahead. I'll stop.
Kelly, are you horny?
What's happening in your neighborhood? Find out now. This is Live and Local on the home of rock and roll, I-95.
We got a Danbury man in the news. He was nabbed during an Interstate 84 West traffic stop through New York. And he had cocaine.
Oh. Nice.
He had some oxycodone.
Ah. Nice.
And marijuana.
Ah, hello. Nice.
Exactly. Well, he probably got it from Frederick Douglas Woolfolk is his name.
Oh, hey,
charged with 5 third-degree criminal possession charges. Released at about 7.5 grams of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Oxycodone, marijuana, a digital scale, and various drug packaging materials were recovered in the stop. They pulled him over at 1 a.m.
Oh.
On July 7th, going through southeast New York. Stop initiated after authorities saw the vehicle commit several law violations. Woolfolk was identified as the vehicle's driver. Two passengers were also inside the car. I'm sure they were real happy about that.
Well, you know, he's busted.
Sound like they had a big afternoon planned.
Yeah, oh, boy. Big night. Afternoon.
You know?
Big night in southeast.
Well, I get my spots.
Going to Lake Carmel.
get ripped. God. Get all juiced up.
So you got blow.
Yeah.
What else did he have? Codeine, blow, weed,
yeah,
and pills. And it's a
bunch of stuff.
And a digital scale, yeah.
Selling it out.
So that means they were looking to move some product.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Going down the Harlem line.
They were going to weigh
so
the
product. So
where
was he going,
first.
You think? If he was driving on Southeast, that was what? That's like Brewster, right?
Yeah.
Polquake. He was going to Polquake.
Think he was?
Yeah.
He was probably coming back this way, you know?
Could be.
To spread them drugs all over Main Street.
Monroe.
Yeah, Trumbull.
Oh, we're just making this stuff up. But other than that, I mean, it's, you know.
Naugatuck.
Good product.
Yeah, definitely Naugatuck. The Oxy made it Naugatuck.
Torrington.
They were going to go.
No.
They were going to go swimming in the river after taking a bunch of blow.
Torrington gets their stuff from Hartford.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense, though.
Right down Farmington Ave, you go right to Torrington.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's the pipeline. Oh, and Waterbury. Obviously. Don't forget Waterbury.
What about Naugatuck?
Oh, Naugatuck's full of Waterbury drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody knows who's looking for drugs.
You know where to go.
Yeah.
You know the cities.
You can get some good coke in Derby, too.
Yep.
Can you? How do you know that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. Hearsay?
Someone told him, friend of a friend.
All right.
You know.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot about Bridgeport.
UMCT, BPT, you know how we do it over here. Big 203.
You know,
I don't know how you do it over there, Big 203.
There is the pipeline right there.
Yeah.
Bridgeport is ground zero for the drugs in Connecticut.
Stratford Ave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Any other streets you want to announce while we're talking about the product?
We could tell you where some massage parlors are while we're at it.
How about Danbury? What about accessing drugs in Danbury?
Let's see.
CVS Pharmacy?
The Ridge.
Yeah, the Ridge.
The Ridge,
good spot.
Oh, yeah, the Ridge.
Ridge is hot.
Yeah. Long Hill used to be a good place in Waterbury.
Yeah.
It used to be. I don't know about now. Willow is hot.
I do my laundry over at the Ridge. That's the laundromat I go to.
How's that go?
Some great people watching.
Is that where the porno place is?
Yeah. Oh, right.
There's the epicenters. Whenever you see an old school porno joint,
right?
Yeah.
You know someone around there is going, hey, man, what you need, man?
Need something?
Yeah. I got 50 bucks on me.
Got it all right here.
Got 50 bucks.
Let's get crazy.
Can you run down the price list, please?
You take $100, you'll get anything.
Yeah. What am I saying, for? I don't know.
If you want.
Right.
Expand your horizons.
No, I don't want to expand my
horizons. Expand your mind.
I know people who have expanded their horizons, and it didn't go well.
You went up to Hartford. You were up in Hartford this weekend.
Yeah,
you could have got lost up there.
I was easy on, easy off. Parking lot's right there for
but I'm saying, if you want to take a little, detour, while you're seeing the yard goats.
You know what, before we go up?
Yeah, you would have had a much better time if you were high on cocaine.
Yeah,
at the game.
Ball and then seeing the yard goats?
No.
Well, just food for thought. Try it out next time.
It's good to know, and I appreciate you guys,
Enjoy your retirement.
Give me the hints.
Yeah, enjoy your retirement.
I'm enjoying my retirement without doing drugs.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not.
Well, enjoy it more.
Saying,
okay.
This guy didn't. This guy didn't.
You guys better be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a whole lot of photographs I'm going to show you. I'm going to shut the door, and I'm not going to let you get out until you look at all my photographs.
We're going to have to look at pictures of dogs and sunsets. And
no
stuff.
Dogs, sunsets.
All right, man. If you start pulling out the sunsets, I got a whole rack of them.
Do you?
From this past week, yeah.
Really?
So we're going to start.
We're going to be dueling sunset photos?
Bore each other to death. Look at the beautiful colors.
Look at that, Dave.
So why don't we talk
about. That's over Sherman.
Let's talk about drugs instead.
It used to be the worst when somebody would, you go to their house and they'd roll out the projector and show you family films.
Oh,
I never did.
Just blow my brains out.
Never.
All right, well, that's one hot live and local we got there.
There you go.
Didn't you want to tell us a story? You got stories to tell. From your weekend.
Well, let me tell this one first. It just came to mind. It happened yesterday.
Laid out.
Went to see my pain management specialist over at Brookfield Orthopedics, Dr. Paz.
Yeah, how you managing?
He's my guy. He does shots in my back so I can,
walk
regular.
He's from the Easter egg family, right? The Paz?
Paz.
You're going to do this the whole time while I'm trying to talk?
I'm just saying, the Paz is the Easter company. They make all those things for Easter.
No, he's a doctor. His name is Dr. Paz, P-A-Z.
Yeah, but he might be related.
But he has pain meds?
Are you going to let me finish the story?
Yeah, let's go.
Pain meds, we're nudging you in the direction.
So, you lie down belly first on the table.
Prone.
Yeah, and you got to get the shot. I have to pull my pants down a little bit.
Cheeks.
So they can see the top of my ass.
Sphincter.
And there's a really attractive woman who came in whose job was it to wipe that area
oh, yeah.
clean.
I like fat ass white girls, the thick time.
Get in there.
I didn't say she had a fat ass. I just said she was attractive.
Get in there.
And I said, don't you get tired of seeing men's asses? And she goes, you know, I didn't really realize that this was going to be my job. When I got here. I says, yeah, but I do it all day. And I tell my boyfriend I do it all day.
Sure.
And she goes, and you come in here to get your shot, I'm talking to everybody, you better clean up down there, okay? Because I don't want to see it.
See some dirty asses.
Wash that ass is what you're saying.
So I, of course, I do because I know I'm going there. And I don't know who's going to be, you know, wiping me down. But you don't want.
Yeah, you're no savage.
You don't want, you know, crap back there.
No.
Did you shave it?
Huh? Grunions?
Keep it smooth, you know?
No.
Dingleberries?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. it's not my whole ass. It's just the top.
Where's your gooch out?
Where the crack starts.
The coccyx.
Huh? Okay.
Where's your gooch out?
Hmm? Yeah.
No.
Rundle.
No. No interesting things, you know, for you guys.
No. Well, you said that you had, you know, your ass out yesterday.
So we talked to Dr. Paz and his assistant Rich. He was in France and, you know, just having a conversation, having a good old time.
While your ass is out.
Yeah.
You like going to the doctor way too much.
I love going to the doctor.
Well, do you feel better today
as
a result of this?
Yes. That's why I love going to the doctor.
Good.
Let's get a look at how much of your ass was out. Show us.
Yeah, give us a demonstration.
No. I'm not showing my Morning Show partners my ass.
Take it out.
Does everybody understand that?
He's not as clean today, too.
No, I'm very clean.
No, I bet you got some filth back there, buddy.
No, you can bet all you want. You're going to lose some money.
You ate pork last night.
All right. That's it for the bottom hour break. I think it's time to move it along. We've got missed headlines coming up. You have any teasers there for the...
Take it out.
Missed headlines? Never mind. I don't want to hear them.
Absolutely nothing.
Thank you, Dave. Let's go to the track.
Nothing to tease except for your dirty ass. Kelly Quinn, she's got a real clean one, right, Kelly?
You missed them. We missed them. They are missed headlines with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on I-95. Story one.
These are so good. Got a viral video from 2024 making the rounds again. They had the story for you back then. It's about a woman in Washington who was feeding raccoons near her property.
Oh.
But things got a bit out of control when she was surrounded by 100 raccoons. Here's her 911 call and then the follow-up with police.
I have anywhere from 50 to 100 raccoons. I need an officer. I'm right in my car. They chased me all the way out through the backyard.
You're not able to get out of your car. You're stuck in your vehicle.
They know that you're a source of food, so they'll come right up to you.
I went 30 hours without feeding. This is probably one third of them.
A third of them?
These big ones, they fight.
This call came out? I thought you were playing. Well, so I had to come out here and see it.
Do you think he did? He came out and capped them all?
I mean, no. I'm sure they'd shoot him away.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
With a broom?
I don't think they start like pulling out the AK, start mowing them.
There's
down.
A lesson here.
Yeah.
Don't feed the raccoons outside your house.
Weren't you feeding raccoons?
I had a family of raccoons in my backyard for years.
Did you?
Waterbury, yeah. And it came down to like, okay, do I kill them or let them be?
Well, your friends wanted you to kill them, right?
They were like, you should. Like, you got raccoons in your backyard. And I'm like, well, it's a... So I got a cave in my backyard, too. Like, there's caves all over Waterbury.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're going to move to another one.
There's caves in Waterbury?
There's little, like, sinkholes, man. Yeah.
I got to get in these caves.
You could be walking along before
you're a spelunker.
I'm a spelunker.
Yeah, you're walking along and you disappear. I mean, could that happen?
Well, I could show you a picture in my photo roll of my wedding party that my brothers-in-law climbed down into this cave in my backyard and took a picture
of
us.
We'll share photos after this.
Yeah,
show,
yeah.
Dave, okay?
We'll pull those out and then our penises.
Cool. Nothing about
story two.
Nothing about penises in that.
Pull
I just
it
asked
out.
A question.
Saying,
pull
I'm
it out.
Things out. Let's go full throttle.
Speaking of penises.
Okay.
Florida man was found guilty today of having sex with a vacuum cleaner outside a home in a gated resort community near Disney World.
Amelie?
Yep.
So,
the detective who provided this play-by-play in the story, and I quote, he continued to penetrate the handheld section of the vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm horny.
Before using it to suction his testicles for further sexual gratification.
Oh, he went full throttle. Yeah.
The cop added that two witnesses advised that the suspect was obviously committing these acts for his sexual pleasure.
No.
as he visibly reacted to the stimulus.
Yeah, he sure did.
As if he was becoming more engaged in the sexual act. His wife, by the way, was with him.
Let's go full throttle.
He did. He went full throttle.
Let's go bagless, honey. Let's go bagless.
Is that Dyson?
Man, you vacuum cleaner, honey.
That's a Dyson.
So he engaged the Crown Royal bag with this thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
You think it was a shop vac? Had to be a shop vac, right?
Pulling the force on that, man. Taking your skin off.
I think the shop vac is the next step up from the regular vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, until you get really good at it, you know.
I don't know. I think the shop vac would be the way to go. If you're going to hump a vacuum.
Yeah, I think you want to start with the regular vacuum cleaner first.
Just ease your way in?
Yeah.
Lydia, go to Bed Bath & Beyond before you go home tonight. Get a Dyson. My God.
What do you want that, Dave?
Or you get the leaf blower and throw it in reverse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Throw it in my ass.
Wow. Story three.
Wow. Gotta start helping rapes.
Wow. Mick Jagger was on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and he said he had a chance to meet Elvis Presley, but didn't because John Lennon told him not to.
Oh.
Says he's always regretted it.
Yeah.
The Beatles went up to Elvis's house in Los Angeles to visit with Elvis. And I remember John telling me, yeah, you know, I should never meet your heroes. I would never meet Elvis, Mick, if I were you. And so I didn't. I took John's advice, which was really stupid of me, really. But I mean, I would love to have met Elvis. Why did I take John's advice? So put me off. So I wanted to keep my Elvis to myself, my version of Elvis. So I didn't want my version of Elvis shattered like John's was. But maybe my Elvis version would have been different.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to always meet your heroes. Like, meeting Lawrence Taylor was a huge letdown. What a jerk he was.
Was he off the eight ball that day?
Oh, he was definitely keyed up.
He's coming down?
Yeah.
Oh.
That Mick Jagger drop just reminds me of... Not funny!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But some people, they rise to the occasion and you're like, oh, they're just as good as I thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Tom Morello, when we got to interview him, he was great.
Oh, my God.
His mom just passed away.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Was she 100?
Something like that, 102. God bless her.
Yeah. And then Big Pussy from The Sopranos is the worst.
Oh, he was the worst.
He is.
I don't remember a lot of interviews, but I remembered that
just
one.
Just a tub of lard.
Right.
Was arrogant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So full of himself.
Very rude.
Most of the people we've talked to have been cool. Man.
Yeah, 90%, yeah. I would say. 90%.
There's some that are like, you know, they won't play, like, you know, when we try to play.
Right, right.
But yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean they're jerks.
Yeah, it's not, you know? Right. Well, they're dicks anyway.
Right, cool.
Anyway.
You guys missed it.
We missed what?
The Illuminated Boat Parade.
Oh, yeah?
And
oh.
The Bantam Lake Water Ski Team was the opening act.
You see any cheeks out on the lake?
Oh, yeah.
Is that all you think about?
Yeah.
How about the art of water skiing? How about the art of being able to sit on someone's shoulders and being pulled by a ski boat at the same time?
I like fat-ass white girls, the thick time.
Why don't I even bring any of this up?
You can sit on your shoulders.
Why do I bring
any of this
up?
What about the art of cheeks?
Anyway, boat show.
Anyway, boat.
Boat show, ski show.
Yeah. It's Jay's, Cadmus' band played. IOL, I think, is the name of the band. They're pretty good. They played on the Park and Rec's like patio thing.
Sure.
They were good.
Yeah.
Then it started to rain.
So then they got to break everything down quickly.
I've never seen anybody break stuff down so quickly than this band.
Professionals.
They didn't play in the rain like the Goo Goo Dolls?
No. It's not advised to play in the rain when you're all hooked up, you know, with electric guitars.
Sure,
and stuff.
You get electrocuted.
Yeah. But it was a fun night.
And you didn't end up dressing your boat up with lights?
No, Jay really wanted us to. I mean, he was imploring us to ask for help. I'll come and help. Here's what it comes down to, Jay. We're just too lazy.
Did you hang out with Jay after?
No. The band was gone by then.
Oh, they just took off.
Yeah. Because then after the skiers, which was an incredible sight, the boats came by, all dressed up. There must have been probably 10 to 15 boats.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
I heard the pirate ship
almost sank.
Yeah. What happened with that?
It didn't sink.
Okay.
But it had to be rescued. And that was when we had that big storm.
Boat news here at I-95.
Just a word of warning.
Yeah.
When there's a possible situation where you're going to have thunder, lightning, winds, don't take your boat out. We almost did.
Yeah.
Of course, Mindy, though, she's looking at the radar. Yep, 5 miles away. 4 miles away. We're not going out.
What was the best dressed boat?
They didn't have awards for the best dressed boat. They were
in your opinion.
What caught your eye the most?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's why we're getting paid the big bucks.
One that I can't answer because they were all great. No political boats. That was good. First year they did this, there was a political boat.
Political boat?
Yeah, with sayings on the side and,
really?
You know, go Trump and all that stuff. You don't need politics in a boat show, a boat illuminated parade. Come on.
Political.
We're having fun here.
Was there a Christmassy one?
No.
No?
No.
Was there a Danbury one?
No.
Eccentric?
No. This is anticlimactic.
You know what it was? There was a God Bless America boat, which I thought was kind of cool.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I would have gone with a Christmas theme. Put a Christmas tree on there.
Yeah.
Screen up Christmas lights, dress like Santa.
Rudolph on the front.
You know, get creative with it.
Yeah. Well, you should have done something like that. You should have recommended it to me. I would have said no, but you know what I'm saying.
No, well, we could take out the party barge. I don't need yours.
So Ron from Stanford checks in with, I was on Candlewood Lake on Sunday. Yeah. Tons of cheeks hanging with a bunch of Brazilians.
Well, wow, we're talking.
See, now that's that. Now I understand that.
Yeah.
That's good news right there. Yeah,
Ron, exotic.
Picture taking time.
Oh, this guy's showing pictures.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay, so those are the illuminated boats.
Some of them, yes.
You should post them to our Instagram.
Yeah.
So everybody could see them.
Yeah.
Ski team.
The ski team.
Oh, look at that. They doubled up. Tandems.
You should do that next year. You should water ski next year.
No, I don't know how to water ski.
No, that's the fun part of it.
It would pull my arms right out of its socket.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
We want to see you fall.
Anyway.
There you go.
Great pictures. Did you process these photos?
Oh, yeah. Every single goddamn one of them.
It's good. Yeah. So this was last weekend?
This was on Friday night.
Okay.
Past Friday night.
Yeah.
I don't know why you got to swear at me.
You know exactly why I got to swear at you.
He knows.
Bringing up various body parts every time I tell a story.
Yeah, well, that's what we do, buddy.
People love body parts.
How's that going, by the way?
What, body parts?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
We have to entertain the Danbury police officers pulling over people at traffic stops right now, fellas.
Okay. That's right.
That's
right.
That's what it is.
Why are they pulling people over traffic stops?
I'm just saying. So he just got a message about that.
Oh.
From one of the officers that listens to our show. He's like, I'm doing it in the middle of a traffic stop, and I got to listen to you talking about Ethan's dirty ass.
Hey, come on. He was laughing.
Keep him entertained.
Right. All right, we got Trash Talk coming up from courtesy of Lestaco Refuse Services in just a few minutes. Yeah, welcome to... Ow, I just smashed my knee under the table.
Oh, I'm happy that happened.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Worst.
You're happy that happened?
Yeah.
I'm going to kick you in the nuts.
Yeah, absolute worst.
You won't be able to find them.
Trash Talk, we talk trash, and Lestaco Refuse Services cleans it up. Proudly serving our community for over 40 years.
It's time to get it off your chest and tell it like it is. It's time for Trash Talk with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on the home of rock and roll, I-95.
Before I begin this story, keeping in mind I can't synopsize it. I have to read like 3 or 4 paragraphs for it to really make sense.
It's real detailed. Okay.
It is. So we have it up?
You got to digest it first.
Yes.
Okay.
Upstate New York man previously claimed he was the victim of a home invasion.
Mayapak man, I think.
Yeah.
Specifically, yeah.
He was arrested at an amusement park in Westchester County on July 4th after falsely telling undercover officers that he and his dog were federal agents shot in the line of duty.
Right, Playland?
It's got to be Playland.
So when these undercover officers approached that guy, Fiore removed a knee brace, removed a knee brace to show them a wound, lifted his shirt to display a gold shield on his waistband, and then stated that both he and the animal had been shot during official duties.
So he's impersonating a federal officer.
Correct. He further claimed that his dog had bitten and killed the alleged attacker. This is according to the Mid-Hudson News.
Stolen valor.
Okay.
The officers became suspicious after Fiore entered a nearby restaurant, the Tiki Bar.
Oh.
And an employee handed them a business card Fiore had given them when he was inside. The card advertised a local dog walking service owned by Fiore.
Okay.
So in the May incident, Fiore told police an unknown gunman shot him in the knee when he answered his front door. And state police later determined he fabricated the story and the wound was self-inflicted.
Oh.
The investigation led officers to search his home where they seized firearms and narcotics. Ooh, what a surprise. Fiore was charged with falsely reporting an incident, 13 counts of criminal possession of a weapon, multiple counts of criminal possession of a controlled substance. Wow, look at that. There were drugs involved.
So the guy is a dog walker who is pretending to be a federal agent who was shot in the line of duty, or maybe not in the line of duty, but he actually shot himself.
And he shot himself.
An incredibly bored dog walking.
Yeah, this guy's got a lot of issues.
Making crap up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mr. Attention Seeker.
That's wild. You just walk around telling people you're other people?
Yeah.
Like how do you live with yourself?
So is this guy like certifiable?
Well, I mean,
should someone drive him to a mental health clinic?
No.
Or just let him.
No, I think he just needs
to be what he wants to
salt
be.
Away in, yeah. in you know, somewhere for 10 years right. and reflect on the stupidity of what he just did.
Allegedly.
Or
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just send him away well, for a little while.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
I wish him the best. I wish everybody the best.
Don't you wish we could have some of these people on the show?
No.
No.
No. No. We say no. Hey, stupid.
Yeah,
you shot yourself.
There are some cases like where I do wish we could have these people on the show.
Yeah.
Like we had Ethan and I had a dude on years ago who didn't want to go to work, so he had his friend shoot him.
Oh God, I remember that. Didn't
really?
We call them?
We called him. He answered.
And weren't they like out in the West Coast?
Yeah, they were out in I want to say the state of Washington.
They picked up Dave and they talked to us.
And I shot him.
They were up partying.
Idiots.
Still.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the commitment. I guess it would be fun like that.
Sure.
If they were into it. Yeah, I shot him. Who cares?
That's good stuff.
All right, there you go.
That's your trash talk.
That's trash talk brought to you by Lestaco Refuse Services. Do you guys remember last year, comedian Matt Rife purchased the Warren Occult Museum?
Mm.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Doll, right?
Yeah, and well, the way I understand it is he doesn't own any of the items inside the museum. It's just the house itself. Yeah.
Okay.
And I just watched a video of his. He had it booked out solid for the last year. People sleeping over.
Really?
Sleeping over in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything happen?
And, well, I'm sure there's plenty of stories. But he just opened up another 9 months of bookings. So I guess the next nine months are open and people can reserve their spot to
You're not going.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Not getting near that Annabelle doll.
Is there that big of an allure to stay in this joint?
People are creepy. People are creepy. Yeah, wow. I guess he said it was sold out for an entire year.
Wow.
Crazy.
And this is in Monroe.
Monroe, yeah.
I want to know Monroe. If anything happened. Do you think anything happened?
Look, all the stories that you hear about that Annabelle doll are creepy, dude.
Yeah.
Some wild stuff around that.
So it's just certain individuals.
What do you mean?
When there's something going on or you hear a story about someone meeting up with the doll, and it doesn't happen to every single person.
Not every one of them, yeah.
But a lot of tragedy around that doll, people that have interacted with it. And then,
so what does the doll do, like pick and choose certain individuals?
I don't know, dude.
To freak out?
Maybe you got
to...
That's the great mystery of the unknown, Ethan.
You should go and find out.
No, I'm actually 100% believe that Annabelle doll is haunted, and
so
I want nothing to do with it.
You're afraid of that doll?
100%.
Okay.
Is this Matt Rife funny?
He's funny. I think he does really good crowd work, but he's got a cult following with women because of the way he looks.
Yeah, he's too good looking. It's like...
Yeah, it kind of ruins
mess up your face, dude.
I've never seen any of... I've never watched any of his specials.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of that. Netflix, that's his...
His crowd work is really funny. His material is okay.
Yeah.
But I think he does great crowd work.
Let's get him to the Candlewood Valley Country Club.
Yes, I'm sure he's going to come to the Candlewood Valley Country Club.
No.
Yeah.
With no offense to the Candlewood Valley Country Club,
okay.
Which we love.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful venue. But he's selling out arenas right now. So
okay.
I just don't feel like that's necessarily going to happen.
That makes
sense. Make, you know, a couple $100,000 at Mohegan.
Yeah.
Or like, you know.
Good point. I wasn't thinking right.
Yeah, well.
That's every day.
That's why we're here to correct you.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the guy, the handler guy that passed away.
Yep.
Yeah.
While he was on tour with the Annabelle doll. That was crazy.
Well, it doesn't mean it was the
I know.
Fault of the Annabelle.
Said he had a heart attack. But there are other stories from many years ago that I don't even know if they're real or based in fact or
they're just
urban legend. Like there was a story that a guy challenged the doll in the museum after being told by Ed and Lorraine not to do that.
Okay.
And then he died in a motorcycle accident the next day.
Oh, cripes.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's some creepy stories.
All right, so I'll stay away from it.
Stop mocking the doll, Ethan.
I'm not mocking the doll. You I'm just are. Saying.
Are you taunting it?
Huh?
Are you taunting it?
See, now you guys are putting words in my mouth.
It's coming after you. It's coming after you.
Yeah.
You have Annabelle in your house today.
I was going to say bring it, but I'm not going to say that.
No, you don't want to bring it.
Matt Rife will be over tonight.
Oh, okay.
I freaked out when I saw a replica of the doll on the side of the road in New Milford. Because you remember that house along the Still River there?
Yes.
That used to do the Halloween decorations?
Yeah,
Butt cheeks.
Yeah, the butt cheeks.
Yeah,
the pumpkin butt cheeks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I do remember that. They did put a fake Annabelle.
They put a fake Annabelle out there.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I got close to it because I was going to take a picture for an article.
You turn around?
I mean, I freaked out.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Nothing happened
You're
to you,
scared.
Though, right?
No, nothing happened to me, but it was a fake one.
You got rifed.
But I didn't realize it at first.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, why is it here? Oh.
Didn't even realize it.
Buckby is always taunting me, saying like I should go see it. Like when it was on display at the park.
Yeah, he's like in Harrybrook a couple times, right?
Yeah, he's going to end up in deep.
Well, he just doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to play softball anymore on his team, so that's why.
That's what it is.
I mean, there was an incident.
I know. All right,
Kelly Quinn. She's never seen Annabelle, right, Kelly?
You missed them.
We missed them.
They are missed headlines with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on I-95. Story one.
Of course, there's a name for every day of the week. Today is National Nude Day.
Oh.
Well, you two are busy being nude, so we'll just head out and let you be nude.
Let you be nude.
Whip him out, Ethan.
Ethan told me this morning that he sleeps in the nude.
No, I told you the exact opposite.
No, that's what you told me.
He just makes things up.
I've occasionally been known to sleep in the buff.
Do you?
Yeah, once in a while.
I got to.
Oh, yeah, no. Hey, sorry, Pat. Yeah,
I got to wear minimum underwear.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be flipping and flopping.
What
you
is
know?
Minimum underwear? What's the definition of
Well, like
of
in
that?
The winter, I'll wear like sweatpants to bed, you know, and
Why
a t-shirt.
Why would you do that? Aren't you under the covers?
In the winter, I said. In the summer, I rock the boxers.
Under the covers in the winter. Why
hey, just because you're nude doesn't mean everybody else
I'm
has
not
to
nude.
Be. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's because you're insecure.
I'm not insecure. There's the man who's insecure across from me. Always got to talk about flesh and nakedness. And
when the silk sheets come out, I can't help myself.
Oh, that's right. Too much.
Okay.
That's too much fun.
Looks like we're done with the first story.
All right.
Story two.
In Anchorage, Alaska, a black bear wandered into a shopping mall.
Bantam.
Ate a peach, visited a barbershop, and then left them all a personal gift before leaving.
Oh, yeah.
It was my first run-in with a bear. It was pretty scary. My coworker, who's cutting hair in front of me, she yelled, "Bear." I looked up from my phone, and the bear was walking into the barbershop right next to me. I could have pet it. It was that close. A couple people were going big to scare him out of the grocery store. He came back around to the barbershop again, but by that time, we were able to run back, lock the door, and then we were watching him from the window. That's when he used the restroom in the hallway. It was pretty wild.
Everything's bears.
My story was better this morning.
Yeah.
It was better.
Better than that one.
Yeah, Dave saw a bear this morning for those just joining the show.
The bear was hitchhiking. Dave almost picked it up.
Yep.
What was it, by Goose something?
Right by the Gooseboro Drive-In on 202 in Bantam. But Bantam is thick with bears lately.
You're having so many run-ins with bears, dude.
I'm in the woods, man. Yep. Litchfield County. Smelling them woods, seeing them eagles.
Smelling the
bears.
You sure you're not smelling the river?
Smell the Naugatuck River on a bad day. South of Rubber Avenue. Harwinton.
Story three.
Here we go again. Yet another attempt to make daylight savings time the year-round standard in the United States is heading to the House floor. All the rest of the information in the article is all very boring.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys vote
for? I'm not bothered by it. I know everybody else seems to be, but it doesn't bother me. You gain an hour one day, and then you lose an hour another
day. I don't like it getting dark at 5 o'clock.
It never bothered me until I started doing this job.
Because
we're up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and we're at bed at 8 o'clock at night. Like, I can't do it, man. These time changes mess me up.
It is very depressing.
So why don't we just make all year round daylight savings time?
That's the push.
What's the problem
here?
That's
the push. They tried it, I guess, a few years ago and it didn't get through, and they're trying it again.
Why was it instituted in the first place?
Farmers.
Aha.
Farmers back in the day.
Damn farmers.
Yep.
With their stupid almanac.
Got to get out there early and get that corn.
Damn farmers, did you say?
Turnip farmers.
That farmer's almanac is not that accurate.
No, it is
Jack,
not.
Jack Drake told me, like, no, that's bogus.
Drake is the man.
He said, that's poppycock, is what he said.
Poppycock, yeah. Okay.
He's part of our Bringing It Back Word series.
Way more accurate. I'm saying?
Well, you know what? Well, we just wrapped up Missed Headlines.
We did?
Yeah. Well,
we have a special guest in our midst.
That's right. We're going to be talking to Pat Callahan in just a few minutes.
That's right. Stay with us.
He's a state rep representing the 108th Assembly District, joining us now in studio. It's Pat Callahan. What's up, man?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, good morning,
nice
guys.
Nice to have you, man.
It's good to see you in person, I guess.
Yeah.
You can smell us now.
Liar, liar.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to wear when I was coming here, but I guess I could have just rooted through my the bottom of my drawers.
Yep.
And find.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much.
That's what we do.
We excel at comfort. Yeah.
I'm surprised we never had you at the old studio before.
No, I drove by it by years before the connector went in, and that's why I was texting with you, Lou, like, where the heck's the studio right now?
Yeah.
I swear I've had to have met you before at events and everything.
Oh, yeah, I've known most of you guys for years. So.
In the studio, wow.
Because I've been up here now 30 years, and I used to listen to Ethan when I was in high school in Norwalk. So.
Wow.
We were just talking about bears before. Dave had a run-in with a bear.
I saw a good 200-pounder this morning on 202 in Bantam again by the Gooseboro drive-thru.
Yep.
It was like, whoa, man. This is the fourth bear that I've seen in person since moving to Torrington.
I've never seen one, but it's a matter of time now where I live because the wildlife up there is crazy.
Now, you told us off the air that you are a ranking committee of the
Environment Committee.
Environment Committee of the state of Connecticut.
Yep.
And you have introduced bear hunts as a proposal for the past few years.
They've been in committee probably for the past 3 or 4 years because, you know, I talked to the bear biologist from DEP and also the federal. And they're talking about where Connecticut's one of the only states, us in Rhode Island. I don't think Rhode Island really has bears, but we're one of the only states that has no bear hunt. And the bear population keeps going up. The human encounters keep going up, and they're bold. If they smell food, if you put your apple pie on the table, they're coming through the door after it, and they're strong as hell. They have a great sense of smell, and it's just I don't want to wait until somebody gets killed to do something.
Well, a couple of years in Bantam, the kid got attacked.
Yeah, got dragged in the woods, Dave.
Right?
And the kid got injured. Luckily, there's family around that scared the bear enough to let go.
Yikes.
But it's really – so we've had the proposals. We've gotten it through committee. We've gotten a version through the House. It just didn't get through the Senate because you run out of time. That happens once in a while. But I suspect there's usually 5, 6, 7 proposals from different representatives from around the state. And I just don't want it to be an emotional issue. I want to listen to what the experts say, and they tell us a limited bear hunt. And it would obviously be when the cubs are viable at certain times of the year, and it would be limited, be a lottery thing. But the effort is to change the bear behavior.
Right.
So they're not so comfortable around humans as they are in Connecticut now.
So what's the reason legislators won't vote for that act?
Well, it sounds like he said it's an emotional obstacle.
Right.
Yeah. Until it's same thing with crime. You know, if you want to help. I ran probation for almost 30 years in this area, helped a lot of people, but we need to really help the offenders more and more until you become a victim, and then you want them shipped away forever.
Right.
So it's the same thing. It's an emotional issue. Yes, they look cute and cuddly in pictures and on TV.
Yeah.
But as you were telling us, Dave, during the break, they are big, ugly, strong things, and you're 10, 15 feet away. They're going to close on you in a hell of a hurry.
It's not clean. It's not pretty.
They stink.
Yeah.
I can wipe your face off.
There was, yeah. It was,
I need my face. This is my moneymaker.
That's where I hear radio, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's why we dress like we do. Well, you cover Sherman, New Fairfield?
In New Fairfield, Gaylordsville area, and part of northern Danbury, yeah.
And you are, and this is your helmet.
I'm running for my fourth term right now.
Congratulations. Oh,
nice. Must be making the big bucks.
Oh, yeah, big bucks. But I enjoy it because, you know, I don't go up there with an agenda. I go up there, if Ethan, Lou, or Dave tell me this is a problem, we need to address it, then I'll bring it forward. I don't just submit bills to say, look at what I submitted. I just put it in if you ask for it. So I'm not going up there with
it. So you really have to believe in that bill.
Yes.
Before you're going to propose anything.
Because like, Ethan and I were talking about off the air about Squants Pond. It was overcrowded for years and years and years. And I've lived up in New Fairfield for going on 31 years. and you'd have traffic lining up at 4 a.m, kids walking in the middle of the highway.
I saw a mother with a grill on her top of her head walking down Route 39.
Yeah, well, yeah. Where else are you going to put the grill?
Exactly.
You know?
But if you're from somewhere in the Bronx, you think this is a little country road.
Yeah.
You know how fast people go on 39. They're doing 55 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we talked to Deep about it, and they said the only way to do it is legislation. So I worked with local officials. We got it through. We got a reservation system in. Boom. After 30 years, solved. So now you show up with your QR code when it's convenient for your family. You're guaranteed a spot. Now people aren't parking all over the neighborhood lawns. And it works out. The park people are happy. The attendees are happy. And now they want to spread it statewide because it works.
They had state troopers before this bill passed a long time ago. They had state troopers, like, just before you get to the park, you know, there with the patrol car, measuring how many people were coming through and making sure no one parked in the firehouse or across in the state park. It was nuts.
Yeah, it was great, but it's solved now. And having lived there for so long, I watched it, and I always said, we got to do something about that. And, you know, it's a matter of bringing it to committee, and then you have to have a public hearing. Public comes and testifies, and convincing the rest of the committee this is a good idea. Now I've got people from both sides of the aisle saying, hey, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
I'd like to do it in my area. So, hey, I'm happy to work with both sides. I have a great relationship with the other side of the aisle. It's the only way to get things done up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 10% on each side aren't going to work together. But we have a great relationship, and I enjoy it because it's really all about the relationships and working together. They need help on a bill. I need help on a bill. We're going to work together to get it done. And that was a good example. So,
speaking of squants, I'm always surprised at how many people who literally do not know how to swim get in the water and try and swim.
Unbelievable.
It's that was another part of the problem, Lou, is when it gets so overcrowded – then the lifeguards can't handle the influx. So
they're overwhelmed.
You see all the chain link fence up there?
Oh, yeah.
So to stop people from going in. But, you know, you got trails all along the water. There's nothing to stop people from doing that. But, yeah, man, don't go swimming if you don't know how to swim.
My God. We were on Candlewood one, you remember this,
years
ago. We were out on the party barge, and somebody, acquaintance, came along with us, and they brought somebody we didn't know. And we're up on Chicken Rock, a bunch of us. And this guy, who we didn't know, he gets in the water, can't swim. So he's going down. So me and my buddy Dan jumped in off the rock, and we got to him, and he was pushing us down to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. So between the two of us, we were able to muscle him in onto the boat. But it was terrifying. I'm like, if you can't swim, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
That's scary because they're in survival mode. And using you as a float becomes tough for you and your buddy.
And we were gassed by the time we got there because we were hauling ass, you know? So we were out of air by the time we got to him physically.
Wow.
Did you jump off the rock?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still have never done it. I'm scared of that.
neither of Mindy went up there and spent a half an hour looking down and then walked back down.
Every time I go up, I regret it. But I'm like, once you're up there, you're like, you got to haul yourself up.
All my kids have jumped off the rock.
Yeah.
Just once.
Speaking of Candlewood for a second, though, one thing that's been for the past couple of years is the islands have been closed off. Yep. Is that again this year?
They're closed again this year. That's something I worked with the municipalities on, and all the municipalities worked really well together straight across the board because you got Sand Island, the island off of Hollywell.
Yep.
We're really getting – and I started the Candlewood Lake cleanup years ago when I was chairman of the Lake Authority, and we got that going. And I used to be on those islands to clean up. If you saw it was out there now.
Oh, yeah.
People are doing duty out there.
Oh, yeah.
Diapers, people pooping in
hygiene
the
hygiene products, everything out there. Oh. And it used to be really vegetated. So, and then same thing with Blueberry. It's just become, it's not only a noise issue, it's a safety issue. And then we're having people Uber boat people from different areas of the lake. And they're dropping them off.
Oh, yeah.
And then 9 o'clock at night, their pickup doesn't come. And they're calling the Candlewood Lake Authority to come pick them up, and now they're half in the bag, and they're trying to fight with the Lake Authorities. They're trying to help them get off the lake.
Oh,
and it happened
God.
Last year. One of the outdrives on one of the boats got smashed on a rock because these people are fighting with them. So we're trying to get a handle on all that. And so now it's been much better. The municipalities have been great. Most of it's New Fairfield, and it's better.
What's the deal with, I think it's a Pine Island right across from Brookfield Shores?
Yeah.
Where there are some lean-tos, and you can't put a house up there. Do these people own that part of the island, or?
We were up there. We went and did a tour of it.
Oh, that wasn't it. That was Vaughn's Neck. That's where
my bad, my bad.
This is like in Brookfield, heading towards the Hatch. The Hatch.
It's right between Brookfield.
So
and
what is up with that island?
You can own parcels there. So you can own a parcel of land.
But you can't put up a...
You can't put a permanent structure up.
Okay.
So some of them kind of look permanent. But
yeah, there's one of them that looks like a house.
Yeah, but they have to be permitted by the town of New Fairfield. Right. It's actually New Fairfield. So they have to be permitted and be sanitary and all that. And it has to go through First Light because most of it's below the 440 or the barrier line there for the 440. And that is owned.
Yeah, so you don't want to, if you're just a stray boater, you don't want to pull up and...
No, it's private property.
We pulled up just to take a look.
Get somebody chasing you with a stick?
Some woman, the one with the structure that looks almost like a house, came out and said, can I help you?
We need to take a break, but yes, we'll come back with Pat Callahan in just a few minutes. New Fairfield State Rep Pat Callahan joins us live in studio. What's up, Pat?
Good to hang with you this morning, guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, man. I'm on your website right now, and there's... some new laws that took effect starting July 1st. There was a bill to help veterans. Can you tell us about that one?
Is this for tax credits?
This says, we passed an omnibus bill to help veterans with several of the provisions taking effect soon. One creates the Military Department Emergency Response Account.
Yep. So there's been a variety of bills over the last few years to make sure our benefits are protected. Some are to start relieving them of if you're disabled from property taxes in your town. And the state will make amends to your town. So, to make sure that our veterans are getting the services, and it's about no barriers to veteran services. So,
oh, okay,
yep.
You hear a lot about that too. And some of these guys, they won't take advantage of the programs. Sometimes they need a little nudge.
But we have a good VA, and we've got a good VA coordinator here in the Danbury area and statewide. We just did a thing at Rogers Park about a month ago. And I was with him because we gave out medals to all the Korean War and Vietnam veterans that are still around. Now, that's heart-wrenching listening to their stories.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
But and it's coordinating. He's doing a great job coordinating to make sure what you said, Lou, is that these guys know what's available to them. And obviously, when someone contacts me, I put them right in touch with the right people. And I have a really great relationship with the veterans in New Fairfield. They get together for coffee on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I try and sit down with those guys. And they keep me informed of what's going on within their ranks. So
yeah, that's good. And then there's another one that passed in the session that would bring more oversight to the State Department of Children and Families, it says here.
Yeah, that came out of you probably heard about. This turned into the homeschooling bill and other things. So DCF, I worked with them when I worked for the judicial branch. They got a tough job.
Yeah.
But if someone – they're afraid if someone was homeschooling and there's no indications – like my wife's a teacher, you can usually tell if something's going wrong at home. But it's another oversight to make sure DCF is doing their job. I didn't really agree with the attacks on people who want to homeschool. It wasn't really the homeschoolers. I think DCF has a big part of it. They have a huge job, but they have to also – they have to respond to some of these red flags that are coming up. And it's just to make sure that that's happening. So kids who are in distress get the help they need.
It's got to be frustrating when you work so hard on a bill and then it just kind of falls apart, right?
Yeah. So I was taught when we weren't on the air, I was telling you guys, you got to propose a bill. It goes into committee as an idea. And it's usually a line or two. And we approve on the committee level that you want to move forward with this. And then the blanks start getting filled in. And then sometimes everyone wants a chance to put their 2 cents in. So what a bill, like we talked about the Squants Pond bill, fixing Squants Pond overcrowding, and sometimes those things get molded into something you didn't want them to be. You want the other side to hop on board and find another co-sponsor, but then you have to get it through the committee once the bill is written, and then it has to find its way to the House floor and then the Senate and then to the governor's desk. So,
Jesus.
And then if you don't get
so many steps.
And then if you don't get it, you can get it through the House and the Senate. The governor has to sign it. Then we have to start again next year right from scratch. And then the bill finds a new morph from there.
So sometimes your initial idea is altered in the end product.
Yeah, once too many cooks get in the pot, then it starts to happen. Or then people add stuff on. You know, it could be the last day of session. Hey, Pat, can I put this on your bill? I go, well, it's got nothing to do with the bill.
Yeah.
So people think they're voting for my bill and they're voting for something. I don't like that.
Free skateboards for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like when we get these, we call them aircraft carriers, when they're huge bills.
Yeah.
And you know, I made like one thing on the bill and someone added nine. And I said, this is a bill I strong. And people say, why didn't you support that bill? Because at the last minute, someone added nine pieces of crap to it, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's the frustrating part. But so you got to watch it every step of the way. And hopefully, you know, that's why some stuff gets sidelined until the next year.
It must be so. It must be incredible to have to break bad news, though, because there's a lot of things like we were just talking about that get that don't make it through to something. Then you're the one that has to go back to that person and say, "Hey, listen, I tried again,
right?"
And it didn't. That must be so frustrating.
It is frustrating, but also you got some people who are proposing. Like I told you, I only propose a bill if you bring me a problem, we can solve a problem. I don't try and overload the committees.
Right.
Some reps will put in 5-6 bills in all the different committees, and there's no way they're going to get through. And they can go back to Dave and say, "Hey, Dave, look, I tried with your bill. It just didn't get through." Well, it never even made it out of committee. So some people use it as a, "Hey, look what I did."
Yeah, right. I tried to do this for you.
But it wastes. There's so many bills proposed. I'd really rather like to work on viable bills that actually have a real chance of getting through and that will actually do some good, and we're not going to be back the next year trying to fix it. So it's some of it's political posturing, look what I did, and other stuff is I just try and focus in on what's going to solve problems. Like we talked a little bit about the public benefits charge. We talked about bears. That are really going to solve those things. I just want to listen to the experts and say, all right, that'll work. Let's go.
I have some advice for Lou here.
Yeah.
Don't ever, ever get into politics.
No. I was wondering, does it ever get heated up there? Like, you ever see anybody throw a shoe at anybody?
Oh, yeah. It can get heated. And when you're working out the bills in committee, it's me and Senator Harding are ranking on environment. We have a good relationship with our counterparts, Senator Lopes and Representative Parker. On the other side, really good relationship. But behind closed doors, when you're leafing through those bills, what's going to go forward, what's not, sometimes it gets a little heated behind closed doors. But then we have a beer after.
Yeah.
But it does get – that's a great relationship. Other committee chairs and rankings don't have great relationships. So it works out for us. So it got heated, but we got bipartisan support on just about every bill we got out of the Environment Committee this year, which was great. It never really happens because we sort out the crap – behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lou, it can get dirty.
You better get voted back in. That's all I got.
I try. I don't do it for anything other than I want to help people.
Yeah.
Honestly, you see, that's a cliche.
Imagine that, huh?
I like the beer part.
Yeah, I know.
But I got really great friends on the other side of the aisle that a lot of times after a long night we'll get together.
Yeah.
And we will certainly have a beer or an Irish whiskey somewhere if we're not driving. And talk about what happened that day, and it's the insight from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, but you get it out at those times when you're out for a beer. You say what you want to say, and
there's so many interesting people. Like, you learn stuff. This guy Heffernan, he's a rep from the other side of the state. His brother was in like Super Troopers and all that.
Really,
he was one of the writers. And I'm like, holy crap! I didn't know these things. You learn these things about people, and they're so interesting. It's so cool.
Meow. You ever see Super Troopers?
No, I didn't.
There's a new one coming out too.
That's right. I can't wait.
Yeah. I just saw two the other day. That was pretty wild.
Yeah.
His brother was in that.
No kidding. That's great.
What about that public benefits charge? We talked about it off the air.
Yeah, off the air. So everyone's pretty upset, and I am too. And my wife will open the bill sometimes and put her head down because she can't believe what electric. A lot of it has to do with the price of baseload power, but about 20% of your bill is these 40 some odd public benefits charges. Some are small, some are larger. And on our side, we've put a bill in every year to say, let's get those off the bill and put those through the committee process that we just talked about so they get scrutinized and they get weeded out and there's more accountability. Right now, you're just paying it and the accountability is just not there. But every year we get shot down because it's almost like a slush fund for your special interests.
Yeah.
Right.
So and we it should be gone.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I noticed. A lot of it has to do with environmental concerns.
Right.
Basically, is that what they kind
of... Well, yeah, and then there's also some good things to help people who can't pay for their heat and electricity. That can be done.
Yep.
We have LIHEAP and things like that. We can get that stuff done. But we're just saying we want to debate these in committee. We want to debate them on the floor. We don't want it automatically coming out of your bill, and you have no say, no accountability. And every year we try and do it, and every year we get the bills get tossed.
Yeah. We got to kind of wind it down. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us before we let you go?
No, it's just it's been awesome serving New Fairfield, Sherman, New Milford, Danbury. I've really enjoyed it. I've been in the area forever and coached half the kids in the area, and it's fun doing it. I think people are comfortable contacting me, and I love helping people navigate through some of the state systems. So hey, contact me if you need help.
There you go. Pat Callahan, thank you so much, man.
Pat.
We appreciate
great,
you
great
coming
to see you guys.
Really
great to see this very high-tech operation.
Oh, yeah.
You miss them. We miss them. They are Missed Headlines with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on I-95. Story 1.
Let's start off with a 75-year-old man in Florida arrested. Was arrested after pepper spraying a family at a pet store.
Oh, Dave Balterston.
After he asked the kids if they wanted to pet his dog.
Oh, Dave Balterston.
Apparently, Marshall Avener got upset when they ignored him. Here's a local Floridian talking all about it.
All right.
This area is so safe. I just can't believe that happened here. I mean, I know, but things can happen anywhere, but that's terrible for families and the kids at a pet store.
I can see it going the other way. Like, maybe you don't want people touching your dog, and then you pepper spray him.
But yeah.
Like, what's the threshold for pepper spraying somebody? What do they got to do to you?
Well, they got to have road rage all the way from Southington to Waterbury on you.
That'll do it. You are the only one in the room that has pepper sprayed somebody.
If they kick in the crotch, maybe that would be a...
That would definitely do it for me. For sure.
Yeah. I got to get some pepper spray.
Spitting on someone.
Spitting on someone, yeah.
That'll do it. You know.
Stealing their identity.
Racism.
Yeah, that'll do it.
The thing, though, is that after you do the pepper spray, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going to go on that you don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, you got to shave your head.
Yeah. Exactly. Dave knows.
You got to change your appearance.
Yeah.
As a 450-pound person, you got to shave your head, shave your face.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll throw him off.
That's what he did.
Story 2.
Let's talk about a DoorDash driver in Texas. This driver was run over by a suspect during a police chase as she was getting out of her car. And even after getting hit, she delivers the order to the correct house.
Respect it.
Wow.
The guy went between my house and the next door, and he jumped the fence while the police is right behind him. Maybe somebody could reward her or something. Poor lady. At the end of the day, she did deliver the food, though.
The driver's recovering with just some aches and pains. I think people are the delivery drivers, because I've been shopping on the TikTok shop and Amazon.
Yeah.
Some of the delivery drivers are scared to come up my driveway.
Can you blame them?
I mean, they get out of, like, one guy, like, he was delivering a package yesterday as I happened to be there.
Right.
I came out the front door, and I think I startled them. Because they're already up in the woods. They're probably like, I don't know what's going on
here. Dude, why are you living in the woods?
Did you open the door shirtless with nunchucks? Like, what do you want?
What are you doing here?
Got something for me.
It's got your food, man.
Get out of here.
Yeah, okay.
Story 3.
Here we go. Allstate just released the results of their annual study on the best and worst drivers in America.
Oh, okay.
Worst drivers are in. Want to take just a wild guess?
I happen to know because I read the story this morning, but Dave can guess.
Let's see. Is it in the Northeast?
Northeast, yes.
So I'd say Massachusetts.
Boston.
Nailed it.
Yeah, horrible.
Boston drivers are 189% more likely to be involved in a collision than the national average.
Driving around Boston is a nightmare.
It is.
First of all, finding parking is so difficult. Legal parking, for that matter.
Yeah.
Potholes everywhere. Everybody drives like a lunatic. And then when you get into the certain of those really old neighborhoods,
right,
you're talking about tiny little streets.
Right.
You know, it's wild.
People have to drive around sometimes for hours before they can find a space.
Massholes.
Yeah. Rankings are based on the average number of years people go between accidents. Overall accident rate is 200. Biggest cities in the country. 10 cities with the best drivers. Connecticut did not make this list.
Charlotte.
Brownsville, Texas.
Oh, okay.
No one drives.
Fort Collins, Colorado. Boise, Idaho.
Never.
Laredo, Texas.
Nope.
Cary, North Carolina.
Nope.
And it goes on.
Never be there.
Danbury should be on the worst list.
Yeah.
I mean, I see some wild stuff out there, man.
Northeast.
Worst drivers. Boston came in first. D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, Worcester, Mass., and Springfield, Mass.
Everything around here.
Everything in Mass.
Everything around here.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. I hate it.
You're not going to like that smell. It's coming for you.
Oh, did you drop a nice intestinal? Oh.
Big trouble.
You're such a classy guy.
Nose.
I was going to do it into the microphone.
Classy guy.
Are you missed headlines?
Yeah, but while we wait for our noses to burn.
I'm trying to say goodbye and end this.
Okay, goodbye.
See ya. See ya, Leon.
All right, get out.
Don't keep talking.
You're standing there.
I'm leaving.
Well, go.
Okay, I'm going to leave.
I'm waiting.
We're not playing last word.
No.
One, two, three. Bye.
Bye.
One, two, three.
Bye.
Bye. No, don't do that. Goodbye.
This is Don Wildman, and you're listening to the home of rock and roll, I-95.